Welcome back to the latest edition of our Mountain West Connection show, podcast, radio broadcast, maybe podcast. I'm Jeremy here, and Chris is hanging out in Southern California.
What's up, everybody?
Yeah, got Chris hanging out there. Media Day's wrapped up. We're not going to spend too much time on that because we've done plenty. Well, we will with our guest in a moment, but tonight it's all about the Aztecs and the show, right?
Yes.
We should
ask Taco University. Or Rocky Long University. It just depends on what school of thought you take.
Or Steve Fisher University, maybe?
Instead. Or Steve Fisher University. Yeah, okay. But this is a football.
I know.
This is a football podcast, so it has to be Rocky Long U.
Okay, we'll go with that. Rocky Long, Adam Dingwell, Adam Muema. Got the name right there. But we are, like we said, all San Diego State this evening. We're bringing on, we have a guest momentarily, David Farraker from SanDiegoSportsDomination.com. Which does not just Aztec stuff, but Padres, Chargers, even the NWSL, National Women's Soccer.
San Diego League. Flash.
The Flash. And he's at those games. If I'm correct, he's at most of those games, if not all of them. But we'll bring David on momentarily to discuss all things Aztecs, maybe a projection for the record, obviously, go through their schedule. He's done a great job of doing some position and breakdowns over the past, far as I can tell, a couple weeks. Probably talk about some Media Day stuff and Nate Barely's comments. Maybe ask about our top 50 projection because San Diego State Aztec player made that the other day.
Yeah.
That sounds good. So let's, there's no point. We're just doing Aztec stuff. We're not going to go off topic too much. I can't guarantee that, but we could say too much with pretty sure confidence there. So
allegedly.
Yes. Okay. Mentioned that as well. Allegedly. So let's bring on our guest, David, this evening. Say, what's going on, man?
Not much. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. Football's camp is in a week away. Isn't that right for the Aztecs? Week and a half?
Yep.
So are you going to be heading down to camp, I'm assuming, maybe? Will they let you in this time? Or I don't know if it was last time.
But... Probably not.
Yeah, we're trying to get one of our guys down there for Nevada, but we'll see how that goes. But basically Aztecs. So let's kind of go back to media days here really quick. They're second in that Western Division. Is that kind of what you expected behind Fresno State, or do you think it'd be closer than the overall point total came out to be?
I think it will be extremely close. Battle between SDSU and Fresno. As you guys know, we have a big rivalry with Fresno that dates back to 1900s to probably 1920s. Nice. And it's called the Battle for the Oil Can because San Diego State was the first big university from the city to travel out to Fresno State in the Valley. So there's been a huge rivalry that got restarted when Fresno State joined the Mountain West last season, or two seasons ago. So the game, I'm predicting, yeah, it's going to be really, really close. And that's probably going to be the best game of the year to watch.
Of the year?
Yeah.
Even more than Boise State?
Yeah, because the team who's going to win that West Division is probably either going to be San Diego State or Fresno State. I don't see Nevada, San Jose, UNLV, or Hawaii competing.
UNLV, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's going to come down to the game against Fresno State at Qualcomm on, I believe it is ESPN or ABC.
Yeah, it's one of the ESPN networks here. It comes on October 26th. That's actually after Aztecs get a good nice break. They get a bye before. Actually, more week and a half. They play Air Force on October 10th, a Thursday night game. Have a bye the 19th. So basically, almost a week and a half. Well, yeah, a week and a half to prepare for that game. It's at home. You guys have a favorable schedule. Host Boise. All the tough teams come to you. Oregon State, Boise. You do have to go to San Jose State, but it's still probably have a decent amount of fans there. But that's schedule sets up nice, I would say.
Yeah, our hardest game's at Ohio State, but we're really looking forward to that one.
Should be good. Yeah, we'll get to that momentarily here. So I should have had this pulled up, but at Media Days, I forget, was Adam Muema, there's only a couple all-conference players, right? Muema, and then was that it, I believe? Is that all Aztecs had this year?
Yeah, I think so. I didn't really watch Media Day that much, but I think if it was anybody else, it would have been Jake Feely, our star linebacker, and Berhe. But I'm pretty sure that Muema was our only first-teamer this year.
Yeah, I probably should have been prepared to have that up here. So,
it's interesting to note, like while you get your stuff up. I mean, it's interesting to note. So, not only was Muema a first team all conference pick, he's already been named to the Doak Walker Award for Fox Sports. which, for those of you who don't know, I think it's the Doak Walker Award, which is the top running back in the nation.
Yes.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So that's already, the fact that he's on a watch list means that, I mean, obviously it means nothing right now, but it means that people are going to definitely keep an eye on him throughout the season.
Yeah, he was one of our better offensive players last year with 237 carries for 1,458 yards, 16 touchdowns.
Not bad.
And he was hurt for two of those games, too. He didn't even play in two of them.
So, yeah, so on their offense, like obviously he's the guy. They have Adam Dingwall, who took over for Ryan Katz partway through the year when he was a broken ankle, I believe, some ankle injury he suffered early on. I'm kind of reading what you put over on your website about the quarterback position. I see you're confident that you're assuming it's going to be Dingwall, but you kind of mentioned that a small chance Quinn Kaler could make a shot of that possibly. Do you think there's any chance that's the case?
Well, I was hoping that it would be the case because he has a strong arm. He had 309 completions last year for 4,000 yards and 38 touchdowns in community college, which is pretty good. And he can run, but this past week it was announced that Adam Dingwall is the opening day starter, so they've already called it.
Okay, I didn't realize that was the case. I missed.
Yeah, but he will be the backup. Okay. And he's a really competent backup, so we're really happy to have a good, solid backup to back him up. Hopefully we don't see another ACL, MCL tear like last year.
Okay,
yeah,
so
I don't think...
Good. No, go ahead, Chris.
No, I don't think that should be an issue, especially if Dingwall's completely healthy. I mean, yeah. Not so sorry. Sorry.
That's the thing. That's perfectly fine. If he's healthy, he's the guy to go with, and he proved himself last year to be good enough, I think, to be a more than capable starter and do well because he's on the field to beat Boise State.
Yep, he went 4-1. The only problem, as you guys know, was BYU. When he got under a lot of pressure, he couldn't cut it. So we hope that that will change this year.
So let's talk about Dingwall a little bit. He went 4-1 last year. He's more than, and you said he's a more than capable starter. He's pretty damn good. How does he rank amongst the Mountain West slew of quarterbacks?
I would put him in the middle of the pack. Of course, Carr, it should be the best because he is the best. I don't really pay attention with the quarterbacks because you guys remember Ryan Lindley. He had a strong arm, but his accuracy was not good.
Yeah, that's one of the problems. Force quite a few things. Remember, let's throw in a quadruple coverage and get lucky with that laser.
Yeah, that's kind of the same thing that Dingwall does, and he can run. So I'm more focused on how good our defense will be this year than any offense. That's what I've been paying attention to the most. But I think that's why Fresno State could compete with us. If they beat us, then they'll probably win the West Division, and that will be because of Carr.
Okay, because of Carr. So, because saying he's a middle of the level quarterback in the Mountain West is still pretty good because, like I said, Carr fails. Brett Smith has potential to be really, or is really good, just needs to put some stuff together. You have, what's his name? Boise, Joe Southwick. Not what's his name, but I blanked for half a second. I'm looking at Air Force logo here, thinking of Boise State, Cody Fajardo. So there's like a big bunch after those two guys. So is there, what do you kind of think, what he does well? Because like I say, he only played about half a season. What is kind of teams, I don't want to say like teams didn't figure him out, but that's kind of the case. When you have a new guy who jumps in, they haven't seen too much of him. What does he do to kind of, what's his strength for his game essentially?
Well, last season, it's important to look at who we have on wide receiver because we actually had a true receiver in Bryce Butler, the transfer from USC. And then we had Dominique Sandifer, Lindley's last remaining receiver that was on the team. And they had benched Dylan Denzo and Colin Lockett, who had started the previous year. So he had really good receivers. So he was able to throw some medium to deep balls, but mostly through passes to tight end Gavin Escobar, who got drafted, as you guys know, to Dallas.
Cowboys!
Yep. So I think this year will be a lot different because the receivers are not as good as last year for State.
And is that really the weakness of this offense this year is the is it the receiving core, or is there something else along the offense that's really lacking?
It would be the receivers in my mind. We have some really good freshmen coming in. Christian Cumlander, who's from Troop, Georgia, who committed to us over Auburn and Oregon. And he is a speedster, and we expect him to be seeing playing time within 2 weeks of the season starting. So, all of our guys are pretty young at the receiving core. One of the starters, I think at the X position, he's a redshirt freshman. So pretty bad.
Yeah, so you haven't had good receivers yet. Couple since with Lin Luizzi, or at least even before that, like Colin Sander for a few other guys. How would you say, not to get too into it, because not many people like to break down the offensive line, but is there any, with the way Adam Wayman runs, he obviously can do a lot by himself. Is there any, I don't have a friend, like, how do you think, how does their like offensive line stack up? They got enough returners to make Wayman look even better than awesome last year, make him look easy. They have a inexperience come in. How would you level that kind of like as a strength or weakness on the team? Is it capable, or just kind of what do you think about how to handle this year, whether running or pass protection with Dingwell, so he doesn't get smushed back there in the backfield by DeMarcus Lawrence, possibly?
Yeah, they'll actually be good this year. As you guys know, last year State had one of the better recruiting classes they've had in a long time. So we have a bunch of big bodies coming in that range between 6'3", 6'4", 280 to 320 pounders. So this will be one of the bigger offensive line classes that we've ever had. And we're returning a couple key players from last year who were on, the third team all-conference. So I actually think it should be pretty good.
Yeah, you got Bryce Quibley, the left tackle, and then you got Zach Dilley as well. You did lose a couple of good guys, a few all-conference guys. But you've got, if Quigley's been there for, 25 starts last 2 years, he's going to assume to protect Dingwell pretty well in that area.
Yeah, so I'm not that worried. I think they'll do pretty good. We have – Rocky was worried a little bit with depth of our offensive line, so we're still looking to get one more offensive line transfer in before the season starts, but I don't really think that's going to happen.
Just depth, perhaps. I don't think that guy'd come in to start by any means. Probably just a backup role.
Yeah, because they don't want the start true freshman. Because, like, we have 6'7", 285, 6'5", 300, 6'5", 290, and they're all true freshmen, and they really don't want to start them.
Well, and let's not forget that, I mean, we really shouldn't worry too much about San Diego State's offense anyway, because now that they've hired Bob Toledo, that should fix any weakness or niche that they possibly could have.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be really cool, and we will be running trick plays next year, or this coming season.
Wait, Andy Ludwig still your offensive coordinator then? Is that with those trick
plays? No, it's Bob Toledo.
No, Toledo is the new one, and they have agreed that we will be running trick plays at some point this season, that we will have them in case we need to use them.
Okay.
So maybe we might see something against Boise at Qualcomm. I don't know.
I was just making that because when he was at Utah, he'd always run this 3rd-and-1, run like a triple reverse inside the 10-yard line, just make me so mad. And that's why I don't know how he gets a job. He was what? He's at Cal, he's at Utah, San Diego State, he's at Wisconsin now. He's like Gary Croton. He kept getting a better job after he left BYU. He went to Oregon, went to LSU. I don't know where he's at now, but he does good play calling. Then when it's like 3rd-and-short, 2nd-and-short, goal line or something where just do a dive or something, let's roll out the red carpet for a Statue of Liberty, flea flicker, whatever, toss back 5 times. He's just, he was just out there. So getting Toledo is a pretty big upgrade over at Ludwig.
It is.
Let's totally continue on, though. So we've broken down the offense pretty well. What about the defense? Let's preview San Diego State's defense.
Okay, number one, I love our defense. I think that is the strongest part of the team by far. And State will have one of the top defenses in the Mountain West this season. It will run along the lines. Last year, we had one of the top run defenses in the conference. Our secondary was horrible last year.
Outside of Leon McFadden, though, he was pretty good.
Yeah, besides him. So this year, that's the number one worry for San Diego State fans is how will the secondary hold up? But our starting lineup, Jordan Thomas, John Sanchez, Everett Bede. I believe Jordan Thomas and Bede are returning from last year. We have Sam Meredith. He is a returner who is, I think, 14. Cody Galea is the other defensive end. He's unbelievably good. Linebacking core.
Everybody's back. It looks like Jake Feely, Derek Large, everybody's back, it seems like.
Yep. And Mika Seau is finally able to play. That's Junior Seau's nephew, for those of you who haven't been paying that much attention. And he's a beast.
Jake Feely. Didn't he have like almost 30 sacks last year or something? At his JUCO? Something like, didn't he play? Or is that the guy that goes?
That's the other one.
Oh, that's the other Sale. That's right.
That's the other Sale. There's a couple of them.
I didn't realize there were the one. I'm like, wait.
Yeah, this one redshirted last year, gray shirted.
Okay.
Jake Feely is by far the best linebacker on our team. And I would say he's probably one of the best in the Mountain West. He is probably one of the smaller linebackers and looks a lot like
a refrigerator. 5'10", 200 pounds about.
Yeah, looks a lot like Brian Urlacher when he was at New Mexico. He's unbelievably fast. He led the team in sacks last year. He'll be solid up the middle. And then we have Derek Largent, who was our big transfer star last season, who almost surpassed Jake Feely in sacks and tackles. But the cornerback position is going to be the most interesting of the group, because we have Malibu Keels and DeMonte Casey. He is the younger brother of Walter Casey, who is one of our running backs last year. Mm-hmm. And both of those guys have not started at cornerback in their career.
So they still run the three, Rocket Long still does that 3-3-5, right?
Yeah.
So, okay. So you ever, I assume he wouldn't make the change because it doesn't have the secondary, but you guys, because I see you lost you bring a lot of talent back besides McFadden, Josh Wade's gone, who played a little bit or a good amount last year. Do you guys have enough depth to handle that? Because we weren't good last year. Is there enough returning to at least be at worst the same as last year?
Yeah, there's enough to cover it. Basically, if you don't know the roster, San Diego State defense is returning all players besides Josh Wade and McFadden.
Yeah, that's what I see
so
here.
So every starter is returning but those two. So they'll be bulked up. They're ready to go. And then you have Eric Pankins and Nat Burhe, the two safeties. And Nat Burhe was a second team, I believe, last year. And Eric Pankins was a fourth team. So those two are really, really good.
So with the passing, I guess the main concern I get here is the passing, because look, all the quarterbacks in the league. So if I guess if they can handle that okay, then they'll probably be, like I said, they're up for the conference championship, essentially, in my opinion. They could win the West. Wouldn't be surprised, obviously, if that were the case. But they're pretty good, I would say. Just got to work on that a little bit.
Yeah, we'll win it if we can hold all the other teams rushing to under 100 yards a game. That's what we did last season. But as you said, yeah, passing will be the hardest part, which is why I think that basically the championship game of the West Division will be SDSU versus Fresno State in October. And there's no team in the West that's going to compete with Fresno State and SDSU.
Not even Nevada, you don't think at all?
No, because if you look at the schedule, Nevada, I believe, only has two home games against the 5-6 teams in our conference. And those games, they'll win unless they blow up like last year. But I still think it's going to be between Nevada and San Jose State for third in our.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
I thought you were still going. Okay. all right, so tie between Nevada and San Jose State for third in that division. Okay, that's interesting. Let's go ahead and move on to the schedule, because you talked about how it's going to come down between either Fresno State and San Diego State for who's going to finish out the West. Well, let's look at the schedule. You guys seem to open up against very easy team, Eastern Illinois, and then you travel to Columbus.
Yes.
Give me some of your thoughts on that, because here's the reason why. Cal, who had an abysmal team last year, only lost by 8 in Columbus. And obviously San Diego State being a better team, and, you know, presumably Ohio State's supposed to be a national title contender this year. Could there be a potentially an upset Brewing?
Yes, definitely upset alert for that game. Now, I'm a homer for SDSU. Yeah, everybody knows that.
That's fine.
My new cousin, who just married my other cousin, he graduated from Ohio State and he played basketball there. So we have a little rivalry going on with that game. But, of course, as you guys know, two of the big Ohio State players, one of them was just arrested. Their starting defensive back and their starting running back was just released from the team.
Well, he's going to – there no running back. He's not going anywhere because there was a video saying – was it Charles Hogue or something where he never hit that girl, touched a girl. So from what I've seen, he's going to be on the field playing because he didn't do anything from what was found out.
Okay,
no,
yes.
No more his hopes.
So, but from what I've seen, a lot of Ohio State media are afraid to play SDSU this coming season.
Why is that?
They're saying SDSU is probably the best team Ohio State is going to play this year because of the run defense that we have. They're afraid if they lose that running back, they're really, really afraid to have to play our run defense. And since we have Adam Mwemba, they're afraid their defense might not be able to stop them. So they think that game will be extremely close and a possible upset could occur in Columbus.
Yeah, because their schedule, I pulled it up right now to see. They going to Cal, it'll be interesting because Sonny Dykes' defense, offense is nuts. We did a lot of tech, so that plus I haven't seen it too much. Hold on a second, guys. Let's hang that up here. Sorry. But I'm looking through. You could be right. That could be their toughest game all year. Because they got Wisconsin's not going to be easy, but they got Gary Anderson, new head coach. They lost some players there. Northwestern would be fairly difficult from what they've been doing. And then you got at Michigan, and look who they lost. They lost, what's his name, Shoelace there, who played a little bit last year. What's his name? Bernard Robinson.
Yeah.
I think it was his name. So at worst, I'd say top four on their schedule. At worst,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's going to be as tough as it's going to be. Like, I could see it being on par with Wisconsin, maybe Michigan, maybe a little bit less Michigan because the rivalry factor there. At Purdue, they're nothing. Penn State, they're doing probation, but they were pretty good last year. I think what they get 8 wins last season, so it's going to be up there. I saw the odds. Weren't they like a 3-touchdown underdog, I believe, in that Ohio State game?
Right. It was, but I have no clue who's making those odds because the last time San Diego State traveled to Columbus, we only lost, I believe it was. Less than a touchdown.
And how long ago was that?
I have no clue. I just know the last time I looked, what it was.
Well,
it's like when we played Notre Dame, we lost by the same, like less than a touchdown.
Okay. So one real quick last thing about that game, which I think is I could see it being at worst, guy, you can cover that, but with Braxton Miller not, at least not yet, as good as a thrower as they'd want him to be, because he can run like crazy. He can, not saying he can't throw, but he's probably still need to work on that a little bit. Do you think with your defense, because your rush defense is going to be improved, that's a kind of way to stop him, perhaps, to limit him and make him throw? What do you think your game plan will be in that game? Let him run around or just force him to throw? Blitz him?
Force him to throw.
So not blitz everybody, just bring your three linemen, maybe one linebacker, something like that, and just have him sit back there and wait?
Yeah. I think, that's the best because, as you know, against Air Force last year, State only gave up, I think, 140 yards, and Air Force's average was up north, close to 350, 400.
Overall.
So I'm pretty sure, State should be able to completely stop the run. So passing will be the big thing, and that's, again, what State fans are worried about are our corners. Can they withstand good passing teams?
Mm-hmm.
And we know our safeties can do it, so I'm going to go with if they can get more than 5 yards a pass, then we're in trouble.
Interesting. Okay. So, I mean, let's just two words, win or lose. Win or lose versus Ohio State.
Lose.
Okay. Well, then the next week you have at home versus the Beavers. And You guys matched up against Oregon State last year, correct?
I don't think we played them. It was Washington.
Okay. That was Washington. Okay. But Oregon State predicted to be, I think, third in the Pac-12 conference.
Yeah, behind Stanford and Oregon. And maybe Washington too. They're third or fourth. They're third or fourth, I'm assuming.
So you have middle of the run Pac-12 team versus top-tier Mountain West team. What happens in this game?
I think we can take them, especially since the game is at Qualcomm. But it's going to depend on, again, our defense. How quickly we can stop the run and force them to throw. And then if we can start forcing turnovers off the pass, then we should beat them.
They also have, because I saw them play last year when they put up a ton of points on BYU. They have a couple, they still don't know who their quarterback's going to be because they had two good quarterbacks last season. Was it Cody Vaz, who came in for the injured, can't think of the other guy's name, but I remember Cody Vaz came in, did perfectly fine against BYU's defense, one of the best in the country last year, and he just kind of, I think they scored like 40 points, a couple off easy turnovers, but does it earn the, I'm assuming by week three they'll know their quarterback, but they're a passing team, and so I guess they're going to come down to their secondary one more time, at least in that game as well.
Yeah, and it could be a high-scoring game too, because SDSU can pass it if we have to.
Yeah, Sean Manning, the other quarterback. So they're, I saw them both playing there. Do you think it'll be like a high-scoring affair in that game?
Yeah, it's like maybe 30 or 40 points apiece.
Ooh, that's quite a bit.
Yeah, but it's not as much as Baylor's 60 or 50 or 60 they were doing last year.
West Virginia, yeah, that game, 120 points. So just off the cuff real quick, we're not going to go through this deep every game, but what do you think about that one? Think they can pull that one off?
Yeah, I do.
Easy, like just, okay. You get an off week before them, so that obviously helps quite a bit.
See, for me, this schedule is built to where San Diego State can do well, and I see why Nat Burhey made the statement. SDSU wants to go to a BCS game. If you look at the schedule, my prediction is SDSU is going to go 10-2 with losses to Ohio State and a loss to Boise. But that potentially could turn into 11-1. But I really don't think it will happen. The whole truth around this San Diego State team is they are unbelievably good. They have the potential to possibly go 11-1, 10-2, but it's going to depend on injuries, on how many injuries we suffer.
Of course, yeah, their schedule, like I said, before Ohio State, they go Eastern Illinois. They get an off week before Oregon, week and a half between Air Force and Fresno, Boise at home, like I said, San Jose State. So we're forgetting New Mexico State. So you kind of were adamant that Nevada brings no challenge, even with that. Even though they're keeping the same pistol offense, Cody Fajardo, they do have a new running back, Don Jackson, back there. But it sounds like you don't really respect him as much as I think you should on their offensive end. Am I accurate in that?
I respect them a little, but it's the whole they're on the road mindset. They're not having to come play State, and State's coming off their big upset of them last year in Nevada. So I think we can take them because State tends to play a little bit better at home than they do on the road. And that's all derivative off of injuries. Last year we got lucky. Cats got put in. Dingwell played great. So hopefully they can do the same thing this time, and hopefully it doesn't go into overtime, but I'm predicting that game will come down to a field goal or one touchdown. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. It's going to be a close one.
All right, so I'm curious now, okay? So let's go ahead and take your best-case scenario of 11-1 and throw them into the championship game. I'm assuming for a rematch against Boise State.
Yeah.
Where's your one loss, Chris? Ohio State or Boise State?
Ooh.
Because that depends where that game's at, that title game.
See, David already said that his one loss is at Ohio State.
Okay,
so
we'll go with that. Well, that's your plan for a certain loss. Okay.
Okay. But, okay, so, you know, 11-1, they beat Boise State, they lost to Ohio State. I think at this point in time, San Diego State would be ranked higher, so the game would be at Qualcomm again. I'm going with best case scenario here. And so they match up presumably against Boise State again. That's two top 25 ranked teams easily. So what happens, and then what kind of bowl game would you be expecting out of it?
Well, I have no clue since I'm not the bowl game watcher. But, you know, I would assume State could beat them. I don't think SDSU would win the Mountain West Championship game if it's played at Boise. That's for sure. But I hope we go 11-1, but I don't think that's going to happen. I don't even think it's going to come close to that.
Do you think that Boise game's like just the revenge factor since it lost on basically on a special teams play? That's
yeah.
The main reason they lost it. That's they're going to, even though at home, well, you guys were at home, but Why doesn't the, how come people don't show up to that Qualcomm? I know it's a cavernous stadium, but come on, you can't put 40,000 people in there for a big time opponent.
That's that's our problem. And you know what? You know what I think is funny about that? One of the schools in the South just put out a study for the past 10 years that ranks the top fan bases in the country for non-BCS schools, and SDSU landed at number one.
Well, basketball, man. They're nuts.
No, for football.
That's what? That's not accurate.
Yeah, right? Yeah, yeah. That's
what
I'm saying,
too. Who the
hell
is talking about that?
No, that's an inaccurate study. Inaccurate study.
And it put BYU at number two. That's exactly what I – it was – Emory University, their business school.
I heard vaguely about that, but never looked into it.
So yeah, I started arguing against our own Aztec fans, pointing out that over a 10-year average, there's no way we come close to anybody on that list.
Plus, for football, the team hasn't outside the past couple of years.
Yeah, we've been bad,
terrible. When you had
and BYU averages like 55,000 a game, even get 35.
No, they're close to 70. They saw like 88-90% of their games. They're
The problem. Getting people to our games. Well, the game against Boise, I guarantee you, there will be 50,000-60,000 at that game.
Really? How many Boise fans will take up that stadium?
It will be half the three-fourths. That's how it was 2 years ago.
Will be Boise State fans.
Yeah.
Chris, are you going to be one of those down there, Chris?
I fully intend on it.
Yeah, that's how it was 2 years ago when they came here, and we were not really good. We had a chance to beat them, but then had four turnovers, BYU factor. And just started getting killed.
No, it wasn't BYU. It's Kyle Van Noy. It wasn't BYU.
But so, yeah, we lost it.
All right, so we're kind of jumping. Let's jump on to the next game real quick. You feel confident against Fresno. Why is that?
Because the game's at State. It's at Qualcomm. And we haven't lost to Fresno since they rejoined the Mountain West at home. We're 1-0 at home.
That's
and
one game. That's nothing.
We're 0-1 there.
One game. Come on. How is that? It's not.
Jeremy, it's statistics.
We're 100%
against. They're adding 1,000 at home versus Fresno State.
Yeah. Since they joined the Mountain West. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Well, and basically because it's a rivalry game, we get a lot more people that show up for that game, and the team plays a lot harder than they normally do.
So what's the reason they're going to win, do you think? Because you seem pretty – besides being at home, that's
– It's going to be close. It's going to be like 3 points.
Well, but why? I want a reason why, because they have – they had the best receiver, the best quarterback, the best defensive player in the league, apparently, according to the media, which may or may not be accurate, and Darren Smith, or Dron Smith. But you think they'll stop Josh Quezada and whoever else they have back there, despite returning their whole offensive line, I believe, or most of it?
I do. Rocky Long does not.
He better be afraid of that offense, because you've got a good passing attack. You got a running attack will be wide open.
Locally on the radio last week, I was listening to Media Day, right? Rocky Long comes out and says, Fresno State deserves to be a top 10 team nationally.
Is he channeling Lou Holtz or something?
Yes, and then went on to explain how they have the best cornerback and the best corner, and he's afraid of everybody. But I still think that if State can shut down the run game, and then the only thing Fresno State will have is passing, then I think they will be able to turn some turnovers off that.
But I thought you said the secondary San Diego State was worrisome, and they have probably the deepest receiving core in the league.
Yeah, it's just our corners that we're worried about. The safeties are rock solid. If they can beat the corners, then we're done.
Of course.
But then they'll still have to stop our running attack, and we'll drag out the clock with that. But it will be a good game.
All right.
Are you afraid of football, Bob?
Chris,
you can defend to give your Bob impersonation.
How do you not be afraid of football, Bob? I can't do it right now. It's not good. It's pretty poor right
now. Not tonight.
Not tonight.
Preseason form still. You got to have training camp.
I got to do a little bit more drinking to get that.
So then I would say the second case scenario, what could more realistically happen, a State will go 9-3 with losses to Ohio State, Fresno State, and Boise State. That's our worst case scenario.
Worst case scenario. I see a worst case scenario being more like 8-5, but that's
we could go 6-6 easily, just depending on losses. If you want to go into that, we could lose to Ohio State, Oregon State, Nevada, Fresno State, San Jose State, Boise State.
Maybe New Mexico.
anything is possible if injuries occur, and that's what we're afraid of.
I just think, like, if they're kind of going in, well, we'll get that in a minute, but it's a tough schedule. It sets up nicely, but it's not like it's a walk in the park.
If they play like they did last year, they'll win the majority of them.
Okay, so Chris, let's have you take the we'll skip San. We'll get to Boise.
I think we're approaching 40 minutes.
Let's get this Boise really quick, since you are our resident Boise guy, and last year, since you cursed every time the game's mentioned, you take this one.
I hate all of you. Hey, you know what? No, this is going to be a great game. It's going to be the Saturday before Thanksgiving. Normally this is usually reserved for the de facto WAC championship game that Boise has played in almost every year. But we're not in the WAC anymore. We're in the Mountain West. We're grown adults. this game, I think, honestly, comes down to I think this game comes down to defenses and the defenses of the teams. And I think you're absolutely right. I think there's going to be tons of Boise fans there. My question to you would be, knowing that, maybe not knowing, presumably since the number of Boise fans will outnumber the San Diego State fans, can San Diego State retain a true home team advantage enough to actually, like, win and pull out this game?
I have no clue.
Sorry, it was a tough question, and it's kind of random.
Are you afraid of Joe Southwick?
No, I'm not afraid of him. He's no Kellen Moore.
Perfect. Excellent.
Yeah. Remember, I wanted to go to Boise State before when I was in high school when I was trying to get a football scholarship there, so I know all their players. But no, the whole thing is going to be, will San Diego State's fan base come out, especially since how big the Boise game was last year and how we were able to win? I think that will propel more students and local fans to come out and watch it, but I still think Boise State is going to turn that into home field advantage.
So what game? So they always say that flyover was the firework game. Do you think, because you're going to get good crowds for some games, that's usually reserved for like a crappy game like
Eastern Illinois is our fireworks show.
I'm thinking, even though for those games, I see them on TV, the fans will come partway through the game just to do fireworks. Why not have that game at least projected throughout the year? Have it, you're a good team, you're going to be Eastern Illinois. I understand they want people at the game because there may not be as many. Why not put that at least this year when your team's going to be good, put that at a game that you really need to win? So even if they're just whispering and barely talking, 60,000 is better than maybe 30,000 going full on.
That's San Diego State for you. They're not very logical in their marketing decisions.
I get their point to do it for a bad game to get more people there, but the stadium,
they should just do it every game.
Makes sense.
You know what really should happen? Hands down, you know what really should happen by San Diego State's marketing department? Take a page out of the Padres playbook. Taco Tuesdays, except just make it Taco Saturdays. Shaco Saturday.
Yeah,
everybody who goes to the game gets shredded tacos.
True, but I think the reason why Boise has a big fan base in San Diego is because a lot of the players that Boise recruits are from Southern California. That's why so many Boise fans take over Qualcomm, because they don't have to go very far.
You know what? I think you're absolutely right there.
Well, same thing with the game last year against BYU in the bowl game.
Yep. Don't even bring that one up.
Let's ignore that for the sake of everybody.
All right. We're going kind of longer we thought than with just the one item here for the team. So I'm assuming your best case scenario, do you think is 12, if they win the title game, is possibly 12-1? If they beat Boise State and lose to Ohio State, is that your official best case prediction?
Yeah, best case, but I don't think it's going to happen. There's no chance we'll beat Ohio State. If we do, somebody's been praying to God and we got really lucky. But I do think we will either beat Fresno State and lose to Boise, or we'll beat Boise State and lose to Fresno. I think that's a flip flop.
So probably 10-2. You're thinking 10-2.
Yeah. We can win the other games.
So, okay. So, So this, in your scenario, it could be 10-2, get second place, Ben Fresno, or 10-2, and even a rematch of Boise.
Yeah.
So, okay. So I'm what do you think they're – well, you say you don't watch the Bulls, so that doesn't matter. So I'm assuming either – in my opinion, I think it's either going to be BCS bowl game if they go 12-1, Las Vegas bowl if Boise makes a BCS, or do you think they'd stick them at home again for a second straight year?
Well, we hope they wouldn't. But that all has to go with who goes – does anybody go to a BCS game? And then who goes and plays in Vegas? Is that – the second place team or the third place team?
Yeah, because it goes by selection. That's what, because it's not by record. It's by, okay, we get first pick. That's why Boise State went last year, why there's a three-way tie. Obviously, yeah. Vegas takes Boise. San Diego's going to take him at home. Then Fresno got shipped out to, I don't know where they play. Where did they play? I don't remember last year. Tech Armed Forces? No, I don't know. Hawaii. That's right. They got smoked.
Yeah, Hawaii, yeah.
All right, so I got one or two more questions here. Didn't give a heads up to Chris here. So it's not necessarily about the year, but for, like, recruiting. Is there any, like, you know the Connor Brewer story, correct? That he visited San Diego State about a week and a half ago?
Yeah.
He's been quiet. I've looked around. There's nothing about him visiting other schools or anything. I don't even know the other schools he went out to. Do you feel confident they can pull him in, perhaps?
That is a hard question to ask, because it's, do we want him or do we need him? Because we're at the point where San Diego State has 5 or 6 quarterbacks on the team already. So who's getting their scholarship cut to bring him in? That would be the whole thing. Yeah, he's good, but I really have no clue. Because we have a quarterback of the future in Chase Favreau, who had the gray shirt last year because he had a throwing injury out of high school, who was one of the top 10 quarterbacks in high school when he graduated. But since he broke his throwing arm, a lot of the top universities in the country stopped recruiting him. But SDSU kept doing it, and he committed to us. So he's our long-term quarterback of the future who's competing, and he could start not this season, but next.
So well, next season, Dingwell's a senior next year, though.
Yeah, so he could beat out Dingwell easily.
You think he could? Because I was thinking that if Brewer does come, he would battle Dingwell for maybe the start of next year after he sits out this last year.
Yeah, because it will be interesting, because it will be Quinn Cahill, the transfer who we have. He would battle too, but I really don't think Brewer will come, because I know he has visits to other top 10 schools, so he'll probably take them over us.
Okay, one last thing on recruiting, kind of recruiting transfers. How are they doing? How are the Aztecs doing so well? Because they have never been this good. I'm looking at 24/7 Sports. They're flip-flopping between Boise State for the type of players they're getting. They're right on with them. Has it just been – because I know Tony White's a great recruiter there. What have they been doing to bring in better talent than they have?
Big East.
That's what I was about to say. Was the threat of them going to the Big East?
Yes, that was it.
Even though this summer?
That brought in a huge amount of people. And then those kids that we started recruiting then – noticed how good State was when we beat Boise last year at Boise. I think that was one of the bigger recruiting things too. And then having our guys go into the draft and then getting situated, coming out here to talk to our coaching staff and seeing how good the team's been built up. That has really helped a lot with recruiting. But we're having a couple missteps right now where some of our guys we recruited in last year's class failed their grade check, so they're all going to have some of them. I think there's 4 or 5 of them who are going to be going to community college this year to bulk their grades up. So we're having a little bit of issues with some of the guys, but beyond that, we've opened recruiting into the South, which we've never really hit particularly hard. Rocky Long's recruiting strategy is always hit close to San Diego. He'll go California, Nevada, Arizona, Texas, and that's it. So all the other guys outside of that zone that want to come to State have to call up our recruiting coaches and ask them if they would be willing to come out, and then they have to send tape to them. And a lot more kids from outside those states have been calling and have been sending tape. So I think that's one of the reasons why we've been getting better, because we're now being able to recruit Louisiana, Florida, a lot more of the
everywhere.
States that we hadn't been recruiting before. And it's word of mouth, too, from kids who he got because of the so-called Big East move that have stayed at State, and they love it regardless what conference we're in. And that's probably the biggest.
So I'm going to go ahead and wrap up here. And my final question to you is, I'll bite kind of sort of a random one. If you had any choice of a Division I team, FBS team, to play that you could swap out with one team on your schedule, who would it be?
USC.
Really?
Swap them out with New Mexico State.
Actually, you know what? That would be a really good matchup. Southern California teams who are slowly becoming... I mean, San Diego State's on the rise, and USC is definitely on the fall.
When is the last time they've played each other? Have they ever...
I don't know. Yeah, it's been a long time. Our biggest thing was the fact that we could have had Reggie Bush come to SDSU, but he didn't because San Diego State does not have a men's track team, and we lose a huge amount of talent to other schools because of that. I think it would be really, really interesting now that State has gotten a lot better to see a matchup between USC and State and see who would be able to win that.
We also missed out on his teammate Alex Smith as well, who was pretty good.
Yep. Good old Helix.
Yeah, Helix High School. All right. So yeah, that's for this year. That makes sense because that game probably should be played more often than not. Same thing with like playing UCLA and San Diego State.
Yeah, I would agree. Just like basketball, we play them every year, and we whoop up on them. So I'm looking forward to playing some football to see if we can hold our own.
That would be especially. They're pretty good this year. So, all right. So that's excellent stuff there. Excellent all around for everything we have going on here for discussing San Diego State Aztecs. So just check out SanDiegoSportsDomination.com. What's your official Twitter one? You got a couple. Isn't like just to say what it is because I forget exactly the underscore
okay.
or something.
Yeah, it's at San Diego _ sports.
All right, so yeah, follow that out. They'll Twitter. He tweets about everything and anything about, seems like, for San Diego State and some Mountain West stuff. And that was David, so thanks for just hanging out with us this evening, and we'll see how that, let's see if your prediction is correct that they can win maybe 10 games this year.
No problem, thanks for having me.
All right, and once again, that was like I said, David Farraker there from SanDiegoSportsDomination.com. Lively conversation discussing even a little bit of transfer recruiting news there. But so where are you on? Let's kind of give our predictions here. We didn't really do that too much, which we will in our show later on. But do you think he's accurate to be maybe a 10-2 season?
Oh, yeah, I totally see. I can totally see a 10-2 season. What's more likely is I definitely see a 9-3. And the 9-3 where I see is I see them losing to Ohio State, Boise State, and Fresno State, exactly as it says.
Not even San – no, everybody's overlooking San Jose State. No, nothing?
I like San Jose State. I just don't like them for this game.
Why? Why is that?
If I remember correctly, are they at San Jose State?
Yeah, it's on the road.
Oh, you know what? Maybe 8-4.
Because we kind of glossed over, but we were getting kind of long, so we didn't want to go through every single game. I think it with their secondary, Benet Bellworker back there, and they got obviously wide receiver Noel Grisby, David Fales. Offensive line, they did lose, David Quinsley, I believe his name, to the Texans in the draft. But I don't think it'll be an easy game. You know what?
I'll give it to him. I'll give it to him. I'll go ahead and say 8-4.
Okay. Cause,
but I'm still thinking that San Diego State's going to finish second in the conference.
Yeah. And, yeah, you mean division or conference?
In the division.
Okay. Because, like we said, we mentioned a lot, their schedule is very nice. They have an easy game for Ohio State, a bye before Oregon State, a week and a half off before they play Fresno at home. They get Boise at home, albeit after going to Hawaii, which, even though it's a West Coast, it's still a 3-hour, 4-hour plane ride. So I could really see them, if 11-1 is their best case scenario, going to the title game, and then who knows what'll happen then if they have to play Boise twice. Or because they missed Utah State this year, so that could be possibly a title game, San Diego State, Utah State. But if we go worst case, I think it really could be ugly for San Diego State because Dingwall is a good quarterback, but their wide receiver core is not proven, in my opinion, even though David mentioned he got some new guys coming in that could be a real strength. But I could see them losing to Ohio State, to Oregon State, to Nevada, maybe even Air Force on the road, and that's always a tricky offense. Fresno's not a gimme. New Mexico is much improved that run game. At San Jose State's a pretty good opponent. And Boise, so I'm, you know, see, like, it sits up nice, but I could see them six wins, maybe not making a bowl game if they have not. I'm not even including injuries because David's like, well, if they have injuries, that can change everything. But level of competition, they could struggle against a lot of teams. Even the, you know what I mean, like Nevada, they can go point for point.
Yeah, I think they're much better than a 6-win, 7-win team.
I do, but I'm just saying it's not going to be an easy games. Like Air Force is never easy. It doesn't matter if you play them every year. It's always a tough game to play, and they get and they have 6 days between Nevada and Air Force on a Thursday night game on the road.
Yeah,
that's where I'm thinking it could be. Even though they're they might make a bowl game, but it's just a game they could struggle in. Because here's like potential losses: Ohio State, Oregon State, Nevada, Air Force is 4, Fresno 5, San Jose 6, Boise 7, New Mexico. I can toss in New Mexico possibly being a loss. They have 8 potential losses on the schedule. Not going to happen, but that's 8 tough games. Even though I think we overvaluate New Mexico, but I really think everybody else undervalues them. Because you're pretty high in the Lobos with Cole Gauchy back there and Casey Carrier.
But I think when we did our New Mexico preview, I think I predicted them to lose to San Diego State.
Yeah, I think they will. I think that's the correct prediction to make. They're not going to win, but it's if their running game goes nuts with those guys and Gauchy can throw a little bit, who knows? Because Chase Clayton gets better, instead of being just a return man, can actually catch the ball on the outside, that could be an issue thing. But I think if I kind of go I think it's either a 9 or 10 win team, probably 9. Ohio State, Boise State, just because the revenge factor and stuff. But then it's either going to be Nevada or Fresno or San Jose State. So I could see 9-3 losing out to the division with Fresno. That's probably where I see them going out. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they do win the division, but I'm fairly confident 9-3 is where they're going to end up at, and probably in the Poinsettia Bowl once again.
Yeah, I can't argue too much. I think either 9-3 or 8-4.
There we go. So not going to win the conference. As of right now, we're still a month away from the season beginning, but that's what we got for the Aztecs. So we're just going to kind of end the show on that. I got all the predictions. Well, like I said, thank David Farraker again at SanDiegoSportsDomination.com. Hey, check out our website, MWCConnection.com. See what I did there? Very nice. So yeah, just check out the website and just keep checking out the podcast and tell your friends, and everybody have a good day.